Today's Bible reading is from Judges 16, 23 to 31. And I'll be reading from the middle of the bulletin. Judges 16, 23 to 31. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, one who has laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servants who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, braced himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more than when he died than when he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel 20 years.
Billy Graham's words were incredibly powerful, weren't they? And I don't think it really matters whether you listen to Billy Graham when he was out here in 59, or whether you listen to that video clip, which actually was his last recorded interview before God called him home. And there was this sense in which there was power in those words. And one of the things, part of the reason that I played that today was because the message doesn't change, does it? That there are still people around all of us who desperately need to hear that message of salvation. The fact that Jesus Christ breaks the chains, and through the cross of Jesus, there is salvation to be had. We as a people, we as a church, can never forget that message. And it needs to be a message that we have a desire to proclaim, not just every so often, but it needs to be a part of our whole being. And so even if we don't speak those words necessarily with our mouth, our lives need to speak that message of a need of a Saviour. How about we pray together? Father, we want to just declare today that we know that our lives have been changed because of what you did through your Son Jesus on the cross. Because of the cross, we have salvation. Because of the cross, we have life. Because of the cross, we have hope. Because of the cross, we have joy. And because of all of those things and so many more things, Father, we ask that you will help us to continually proclaim the message of Jesus to the people around us. Each one of us in this room, Father, we know of people who desperately need to hear this message. We know of people around us who not only need to hear it with their ears, but respond to it. So would you help us to remain faithful to that? And Father, now as we open your word in some ways what seems to be a little bit of an unrelated passage, I pray, Father, that you will draw our thoughts together to what you are wanting to communicate with us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do acknowledge that the Billy Graham starting the service and then reading a passage of Samson seems a little disconnected, but I'm hoping that as I talk through it, you'll see where the connection sort of lies. The reason that I've put these two things in today's message is simply this. Billy Graham went to the production group who were putting it together, and he said, this one last time, this one last time, I want to dedicate my time to proclaiming the message of Jesus, proclaiming the message of the cross to the people. He realized that he might have dedicated his whole life to that purpose, but he needed to do it one last time. One last time, he needed to make sure this message got out there, and he believed that this one last time, it would carry strength with it, and that there would be at least someone who would hear that message and have their lives transformed. In the passage we have today, we see Samson uttering the same words, but from a different perspective. Samson had dedicated his life to destroying his calling. He dedicated his life to finding ways in which he could go back on the promises he had made. Everything that God had asked of him, Samson had dedicated himself to not doing. But in his last days, in his last moments, he comes to this point of declaring those same words, one last time. In the last step of my life, the last component of my life, I want to do something that honors you. And I think it's in that prayer that we see this connection where there's a sense in which I might not have a lot of time left. I might not have a lot of things I can do. But I want to dedicate this moment from now until you call me home. I want to dedicate my life to being faithful to you so that all the days of my life, not just most of the early part of my life, but all the days of my life are dedicated to serving our God. It's a great plea, isn't it? That all of the days of our lives will be dedicated to our God. Billy Graham speaks about a world that needed a cross, and that's true as we know. Because we know that, because we've all messed up our lives in one way or another. And by the grace of God, we haven't probably worn all the consequences of our sins, have we? There's lots of things we've done wrong, and somehow we've got away with some of the consequences of that. And that's not because of our cleverness, but it's because of God's love for us. And it doesn't change the reality that we all needed the cross of Jesus. We needed the Saviour. And of course, it's a simple message, but I want to say it again today. That if we confess that we are sinners, if we are genuinely repentant and we accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers, then we receive forgiveness and we are born again as children of God. That promise that we have, though, doesn't mean that we still won't face some of the consequences of our sin. Some of those we carry with us, don't we? They stay with us. Whether we like it or not, those consequences stay with us. I remember an illustration when I was a kid that kind of reminded me of that. There was this dad who had his little boy, and what he used to do, he said to his little boy, every time you do something wrong, every time you sin, I'm going to nail a nail in this piece of wood. But every time you do something right or you ask for forgiveness, I'll pull the nail out of the piece of wood. And as this little boy was growing up, he'd sometimes see three or four nails in the piece of wood, and sometimes there'd be none there. And most of the time, there was hardly any, if any, in this piece of wood. And one day, they found the piece of wood as the boy was a bit older, and his dad said, you must be very proud that there's no nails in this wood. And he said, you know what, that piece of wood just causes me grief. Because although there's no nails in it, I can still see all the holes. I can see all the holes where the nails used to be, and all of them remind me of my sin. So there's this sense in which we may be forgiven and we live in the fullness of that, But the consequences of the sin are there for us to still be seen. And sometimes we have to carry the burden of all of that. And I think in many ways, that's the heart of the passage which we have today. Samson committed lots of sins. Samson is a story of a ruined life in many ways. A man who had almost unlimited potential, who, as we read this passage, is just a mere shadow of himself. He's broken, he's damaged, he's almost soul destroyed. His position and his opportunity seems lost. You see, Samson could have been so much. Here's a paraphrased overview of his life. Samson was born at a time when the Philistines, remember those Philistines? There they raise their head again. Were ruling the Jewish people. Samson had been set aside to be a Nazarite. A Nazarite was a person who took a vow to completely be devoted to God. And part of that vow included not cutting their hair, not drinking wine or eating grapes, not going anywhere near anything that was dead. And it's actually quite a long list, and you can read of it in Numbers 6, the list of things that a Nazarite needed to do. Samson really didn't do very well at upholding any of those promises. Samson wanted to marry a Philistine woman, and there was trouble in the making right there. He killed a lion and then ate honey out of its carcass. He told Delilah, his wife, that his strength was in his hair. The Philistines cut his hair and gouged out his eyes. They bound him to bronze shackles and put him in prison. And what we sometimes forget is when we look at that gory part of the story, that's not how his life started. His life started with so much promise. His dad actually prayed this prayer in chapter 13, verse 8. Manoah prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up this boy who is to be born." And then when he was born, in chapter 13 we read, "When Samson was born, the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him." The Lord had his hand on his life. We read of Samson actually leading Israel for 20 years, something that we don't often recognize, that he led the nation for 20 years. There was hope, potential, but in the midst of all of this were silly decisions. Unwise decisions that cost him his eyesight, cost him his strength, and cost him his future. And so that leads to today's passage, where all we see is a broken man, someone who's being laughed at, someone who's humiliated. Verse 23 of the passage that we have. "Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god, and to celebrate, saying, 'Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands.'" Verse 25, "And while they were in high spirits, they shouted, 'Bring out Samson, the man with his eyes gouged out, Israel's leader, to entertain us.'" That's a life completely destroyed. Samson had done all he could to walk away from God, to walk away from the promises that he had made, to walk away from his calling. But God never left him, did he? And that's the beauty of this story, the truth we have. God never left him. And I challenge you to find it anywhere in this passage, because you won't find it there, where God kind of says, "You know, I've had a stomach full of Samson. You know, I'm sick and tired of his antics. I'm sick of his lies. I'm sick of his deceit. So I'm just going to give up on Samson." You don't read that there. And fortunately, that's not God's nature, to give up on his own. I have no doubt that God grieves over the pain and distress, or grieved over the pain and distress that Samson had caused him. But God never left him, because God knew that within Samson there was a desire. Ultimately, there was a desire to honor God. So in his hour of greatest need and greatest despair, even though it's near the end of his life, Samson calls out to God, and God intervenes. And that's the centerpiece of this series we're going with, how God intervenes, and he intervenes in this moment. In the midst of his shame and disgrace, God restores his soul, resets Samson's life on a divine purpose. You know, I think we all grieve over beautiful people that no longer walk the path of God. You know, those people who we once went to Sunday school with, those people that we were once in youth group with, those people who we've shared so much of our life with, and we look at the way in which they live their lives, we grieve over them. But we don't grieve over them nearly as much as God does. The only difference is we often find ourselves that we give up on them. We give up on them so easy. It's not our job to give up on them. It's our job to be praying for them. It's our job to be there for them. It is our job to be speaking a word in season into their lives. And just as Billy Graham wouldn't give up on that message of salvation all the days of his life, we can't give up on proclaiming a person's need of Jesus. We need to be praying that God will intervene. So here's Samson's request of God. He simply says, one last time. One last time. Strengthen me. Strengthen me this last time. Why? So that with one blow, I might get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. I actually struggled with that when I first read that. And I struggled with that because it sounds like all he wants is revenge. You think, you know, here, you know, he spent his whole life being against God and his purposes, and even in this moment, all he's out for is revenge. I've had my eyes gouged out. I want to get even. And that just didn't seem right to me. It seemed like a bit of a selfish request. It seems like the sort of thing that God wouldn't give him this extra strength just so he could get even about his eyes, surely. But that's not really what's going on here. As much as we might read it like that, that's not what's going on. We need to remember who Samson was. You see, Samson was the judge. And so Samson's job had always been to make sure that there were consequences for people's actions. That was what his calling was. That was what he was set apart for. And so in this moment, what he's really declaring is, God, would you restore to me one last time the position that you actually called me to, that you equipped me for, the position of being judge over Israel. He wanted to once again be restored to the one who upheld justice, the one who was rightly given the role of giving out the punishment for those who broke God's law, the one who made sure the penance was paid. You see, what Samson always knew, even though the Philistines had rendered him blind, he was still called by God to his task. So he stands between the pillars that support the temple, and what he really declares is this: please, Lord, intervene and restore to me the position you wanted me to fulfill, the position of judge, so that I can fulfill the task that you have called me to. Of course, for this to unfold, God needed to equip Samson with something a little bit special, a strength that could only come from God. You know, some people have surmised, and they like to travel this path, that somewhere along the line, Samson's hair had grown back. And because his hair had grown back wonderfully, he had regained all that power and all that strength, and now he was able to fulfill this task. And of course, the silliness of that argument is his strength was never in his hair. Not really. His strength was in the commitment he had made to God, his faithfulness in not having his hair cut. His strength rested in God, not in his own ability. It was in honouring God and not allowing it to be cut that is the issue. God needed to restore Samson. He needed to restore his spirit, needed to restore his strength, and not just restore to what he had before, but to give him an extraordinary strength. Restoration is what he pleaded for. Restoration is what he needed. And that's the same message that Billy Graham delivered. A need, everyone's need of restoration. Of course, as we looked at this passage, apart from Samson, there are a lot of other things that are going on. God needs to deal with the Philistines for a number of different reasons. We read that the Philistines had been a nation who were committed to worshipping other supposed gods. And David mentioned for us the god Dagon. Dagon was supposed to be the god of all gods, the father of Baal. And of course, we read through Scripture, we know that Baal caused the Israelites a lot of problems over the years. He presented himself as half fish and half man. Most noticeably, he is mentioned three times in the Bible, and every single time it's an attempt to humiliate the one true God, to show he is superior than the God we serve. So this moment is also a moment to show everyone that our God who is full of wonder and full of power, is the only true God. This is a God moment. It's all about God and not about Samson. So as we look at this passage today, it starts at what appears to be a life that has become a waste. A life that is more about a dishonorable pursuit rather than anything of honor. But in this last moment, Samson gives all that he is. In fact, I think it's true to say he even gives all that he's not. He gives all that he is and all that he's not in a very limited time over to God. In the temple of Dagon on that day stood a very broken man, a blind man, a weak man, but he had a passion to pray a prayer. It was a prayer that he needed to pray, a prayer that needed to be prayed on that day. Samson prayed this prayer: O Sovereign Lord, remember me, O God. Please strengthen me just one more time. And with that, God intervenes and brought about a great victory. See, no messed up life needs to be the end of the story. No messed up life has to be the end of the story. While ever there is breath, while ever there is life, there is hope if people will turn their lives back to God. And that's why I said before, we need to not be the people who give up praying for those who are struggling, who are messing up their lives. We need to be committed to them. The people we love and care about might only be a moment away from God intervening in their lives. And that's what we need to be praying for. For me, the words that I really take from this passage is that those words, one last time. Samson had what he believed was nothing else to offer, but he asked that the Lord would intervene in the twilight of his days and that he would make a difference that honours God. I don't know how you hear those words one last time. That might almost sound a little offensive, thinks that I'm just about preparing to do your funeral. You know, it's not quite that. But we have less days available to us than we had yesterday, don't we? We're all there. We all have less days available to us. And when we have that realization, we often look back at the years and the days we had before and say, gee, my life was worthwhile back then. The things I could do and the things I did for God were great. We might think to ourselves, oh, I could have done more. I could have achieved more. But there is nothing to declare that today we get to the point of saying there's nothing more on offer. I've come to that point where for the rest of my days I have nothing else to give to my God. I'm just going to wait. And hopefully it won't take too long. He'll ring that bell, be able to go home, and it'll all be done. We need to be declaring one last time. At least one last time, I want to use my life to honour God, to make a difference, to be all that God has called me to be all that God has set me apart to be. I'm not stopping today. I'm stepping into the future that God has for me, and I'm going to utter those words one last time, or at least one more time. I will do what God calls me to do, and I will be faithful in the task He has for me. Why would Billy Graham worry about the last part of his life bothering to sit down and say, I need to do another interview? He stood in front of millions of people uttering the word of salvation. And in that final interview, he doesn't say anything new, except he knew there was one more thing he needed to do. Samson could have said, my life is finished, I have no value left. But he said, in this one last time, I'm going to make a difference. God is calling all of us to make value in whatever time we have left. Whether that's 40 years, 50 years, a few days, we need to make the most of this moment that God has for us. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we come before you as sinners. We know that we regularly mess up our lives, and we really can't look at the life of Samson with any sense of judgment because, in truth, Father, we've failed you in lots of other ways as well. But Father, we rejoice in the fact that Samson realized that all his days needed to be lived for you. And although he may have messed up all the ones before, in his final hours, his final days, he chose to dedicate himself to you. For all of us here today, Father, would you help us to be committed to living for you one last time, or at least one more time? We want to be the people you have called us to be, honouring you, serving you, lifting your name high, proclaiming the message of Jesus, faithfully fulfilling your will. In the name of Jesus, amen.